This episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is brought to you in part by Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide at easybiblenamesguide.com. Check it out. Hello there, and welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 568, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. If this is your first time here, welcome. I'm glad you stopped by. If you're a longtime member of the LifeSpring family, I'm glad you're back. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, because every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we read the Old Testament. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we read the New Testament. Today, we're going to read Ezekiel 39 through 41 from the Good News Translation. Let's get started. Ezekiel chapter 39. The sovereign Lord said, "Mortal man, denounce Gog, the chief ruler of the nations of Meshech and Tubal, and tell him that I am his enemy. I will turn him in a new direction and lead him out from the far north until he comes to the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock his bow out of his left hand and his arrows out of his right hand. Gog and his army and his allies will fall dead on the mountains of Israel, and I will let their bodies be food for all the birds and wild animals. They will fall dead in the open field. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. I will start a fire in the land of Magog and along all the seacoasts where people live undisturbed, and everyone will know that I am the Lord. I will make sure that my people Israel know my holy name, and I will not let my name be disgraced anymore. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, am the holy God of Israel." The sovereign Lord said, "The day I spoke about is certain to come. The people who live in the cities of Israel will go out and collect the abandoned weapons for firewood. They will build fires with the shields, bows, arrows, spears, and clubs, and have enough to last for 7 years. They will not have to gather firewood in the fields or cut down trees in the forest, because they will have the abandoned weapons to burn. They will loot and plunder those who looted and plundered them. The sovereign Lord has spoken." The Lord said, "When all this happens, I will give Gog a burial ground there in Israel, in Traveler's Valley, east of the Dead Sea. Gog and all his army will be buried there, and the valley will be called the Valley of Gog's Army. It will take the Israelites 7 months to bury all the corpses and make the land clean again. Everyone in the land will help bury them, and they will be honored for this on the day of my victory. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. After the 7 months are over, men will be chosen to travel through the land in order to find and bury those bodies remaining on the ground, so that they can make the land clean again. As they go up and down the country, every time they find a human bone, they will put a marker beside it so that the grave diggers can come and bury it in the Valley of Gog's Army. There will be a town nearby named after the army, and so the land will be made clean again." The sovereign Lord said to me, "Mortal man, call all the birds and animals to come from all around to eat the sacrifice I am preparing for them. It will be a huge feast on the mountains of Israel, where they can eat meat and drink blood. They are to eat the bodies of soldiers and drink the blood of the rulers of the earth, all of whom will be killed like rams or lambs or goats or fat bulls. When I kill these people like sacrifices, the birds and animals are to eat all the fat they can hold and to drink blood until they are drunk. At my table they will eat all they can hold of horses and their riders and of soldiers and fighting men. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken." The Lord said, "I will let the nations see my glory and show them how I use my power to carry out my just decisions. The Israelites will know from then on that I am the Lord their God. And the nations will know that the Israelites went into exile because of the sins which they committed against me. I turned away from them and let their enemies defeat them and kill them in battle. I gave them what they deserved for their uncleanness and their wickedness, and I turned away from them." The sovereign Lord said, "But now I will be merciful to Jacob's descendants, the people of Israel, and make them prosperous again. I will protect my holy name. When they are once more living in safety in their own land, with no one to threaten them, they will be able to forget how they were disgraced for having betrayed me. In order to show to the many nations that I am holy, I will bring them back from all the countries where their enemies live. Then my people will know that I am the Lord their God. They will know this, because I sent them into captivity, and now gather them and bring them back into their own land, not leaving even one of them behind. I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel, and never again turn away from them. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Ezekiel chapter 40. It was the 10th day of the new year, which was the 25th year after we had been taken into exile, and the 14th year after Jerusalem was captured. On that day I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and He carried me away. In a vision, God took me to the land of Israel and put me on a high mountain. I saw in front of me a group of buildings that looked like a city. He took me closer, and I saw a man who shone like bronze. He was holding a linen tape measure and a measuring rod, and was standing by a gateway. He said to me, "Watch, mortal man, listen carefully and pay close attention to everything I show you, because this is why you were brought here. You are to tell the people of Israel everything you see." What I saw was the temple, and there was a wall around it. The man took his measuring rod, which was 10 feet long, and measured the wall. It was 10 feet high and 10 feet thick. Then he went to the gateway that faced east. He went up the steps, and at the top he measured the entrance. It was 10 feet deep. Beyond it there was a passageway, which had 3 guardrooms on each side. Each of the rooms was square, 10 feet on each side, and the walls between them were 8 feet thick. Beyond the guardrooms there was a passageway 10 feet long that led to an entrance room which faced the temple. He measured this room and found it was 14 feet deep. It formed that end of the gateway which was nearest the temple, and at its far end the walls were 4 feet thick. These guardrooms on each side of the passageway were all the same size, and the walls between them were all of the same thickness. Next, the man measured the width of the passageway in the gateway. It was 22 feet altogether, and the space between the open gates was 16 feet. In front of each of the guardrooms there was a low wall 20 inches high and 20 inches thick. The rooms were 10 feet square. Then he measured the distance from the back wall of one room to the back wall of the room across the passageway from it, and it was 42 feet. The room at the far end led out to a courtyard. He measured that room and found it was 34 feet wide. The total length of the gateway from the outside wall of the gate to the far side of the last room was 84 feet. There were small openings on the outside walls of all the rooms and also in the inner walls between the rooms. There were palm trees carved on the inner walls that faced the passageway. The man took me through the gateway into the courtyard. There were 30 rooms built against the outer wall, and in front of them there was an area paved with stones which extended around the courtyard. This outer courtyard was at a lower level than the inner courtyard. There was a gateway at a higher level that led to the inner courtyard. The man measured the distance between the 2 gateways, and it was 168 feet. Then the man measured the gateway on the north side that led into the outer courtyard. The 3 guardrooms on each side of the passageway, the walls between them, and the entrance room all had the same measurements as those in the east gateway. The total length of the gateway was 84 feet and the width 42 feet. The entrance room, the windows, and the carved palm trees were like those in the east gate. Here, 7 steps led up to the gate, and the entrance room was at the end facing the courtyard. Across the courtyard from this north gateway was another gateway leading to the inner courtyard, just as there was on the east gate. The man measured the distance between these 2 gateways, and it was 168 feet. Next, the man took me to the south side, and there we saw another gateway. He measured its inner walls and its entrance room, and they were the same as the others. There were windows in the rooms of the gateway just as in the others. The total length of the gateway was 84 feet, and the width 42 feet. 7 steps led up to it, and its entrance room was also at the end facing the courtyard. There were palm trees carved on the inner walls that faced the passageway. Here, too, there was a gateway leading to the inner courtyard. The man measured the distance to this second gateway, and it was 168 feet. The man took me through the south gateway into the inner courtyard. He measured the gateway, and it was the same size as the gateways in the outer wall. Its guardrooms, its entrance room, and its inner walls were the same size as those in the other gateways. There were also windows in the rooms of this gateway. The total length was 84 feet, and the width 42 feet. Its entrance room faced the other courtyard, and palm trees were carved on the walls along the passageway. 8 steps led up to this gate. The man took me through the east gateway into the inner courtyard. He measured the gateway, and it was the same size as the others. Its guard rooms, its entrance room, and its inner walls measured the same as those in the other gateways. There were windows all around, and the entrance room also. The total length was 84 feet, and the width 42 feet. The entrance room faced the outer courtyard. Palm trees were carved on the walls along the passageway. 8 steps led up to this gate. Then the man took me to the north gateway. He measured it, and it was the same size as the others. Like them, it also had guard rooms, decorated inner walls, an entrance room, and windows all around. Its total length was 84 feet, and its width 42 feet. The entrance room faced the outer courtyard. Palm trees were carved on the walls along the passageway. 8 steps led up to this gate. In the outer courtyard, there was an annex attached to the inner gateway on the north side. It opened into the entrance room that faced the courtyard, and there they washed the carcasses of the animals to be burned whole as sacrifices. In this entrance room, there were 4 tables, 2 on each side of the room. It was on these tables that they killed the animals to be offered as sacrifices, either to be burned whole or to be sacrifices for sin or as repayment offerings. Outside the room, there were 4 similar tables, 2 on either side of the entrance of the north gate. Altogether, there were 8 tables on which the animals to be sacrificed were killed, 4 inside the room and 4 out in the courtyard. The 4 tables in the annex, used to prepare the offerings to be burned whole, were of cut stone. They were 20 inches high, and their tops were 30 inches square. All the equipment used in killing the sacrificial animals was kept on these tables. Ledges 3 inches wide ran around the edge of the tables. All the meat to be offered in sacrifice was placed on the tables. Then he brought me to the inner court. There were 2 rooms opening on the inner court, one facing south beside the north gateway, and the other facing north beside the south gateway. The man told me that the room which faced south was for the priests who served in the temple, and the room which faced north was for the priests who served at the altar. All the priests were descended from Zadok. They were the only members of the tribe of Levi who were permitted to go into the Lord's presence to serve him. The man measured the inner courtyard, and it was 168 feet square. The temple was on the west side, and in front of it was an altar. Then he took me into the entrance room of the temple. He measured the entranceway. It was 9 feet deep and 24 feet wide, with walls 5 feet thick on either side. Steps led up to the entrance room, which was 34 feet wide and 20 feet deep. There were 2 columns, one on each side of the entrance. Ezekiel chapter 41. Next, the man took me into the central room, the holy place. He measured the passageway into it. It was 10 feet deep and 18 feet wide, with walls 8 feet thick on either side. He measured the room itself. It was 68 feet long and 34 feet wide. Then he went to the innermost room. He measured the passageway into it. It was 3 feet deep and 10 feet wide, with walls on either side 12 feet thick. He measured the room itself, and it was 34 feet square. This room was beyond the central room. Then he said to me, "This is the most holy place." The man measured the thickness of the inner wall of the temple building, and it was 10 feet. Against this wall, all around the temple, was a series of rooms 7 feet wide. These rooms were in 3 stories, with 30 rooms on each floor. The temple's outer wall on each floor was thinner than on the floor below, so that the rooms could rest on the wall without being anchored into it. And so the temple walls, when seen from the outside, seemed to have the same thickness all the way to the top. Against the temple's outer wall, on the outside of the rooms, 2 wide stairways were built, so that it was possible to go from the lower story to the middle and the upper stories. The outside wall of these rooms was 8 feet thick. There was 1 door into the rooms on the north side of the temple, and 1 into those on the south side. I saw that there was a terrace 8 feet wide around the temple. It was 10 feet above the ground, and it was level with the foundation of the rooms by the temple walls. Between the terrace and the buildings used by the priests, there was an open space 34 feet across along the sides of the temple. At the far end of the open space on the west side of the temple, there was a building 150 feet long and 116 feet wide. Its walls were 9 feet thick all around. The man measured the outside of the temple, and it was 168 feet long. And from the back of the temple, across the open space to the far side of the building to the west, the distance was also 168 feet. The distance across the front of the temple, including the open space on either side, was also 168 feet. He measured the length of the building to the west, including its galleries on both sides, and it also was 168 feet. The entrance room of the temple, the holy place, and the most holy place were all paneled with wood from the floor to the windows. These windows could be covered. The inside walls of the temple, up as high as above the doors, were completely covered with carvings of palm trees and winged creatures. Palm trees alternated with creatures, one following the other, all the way around the room. Each creature had two faces, a human face that was turned toward the palm tree on one side, and a lion's face that was turned toward the tree on the other side. It was like this all around the wall, from the floor to above the doors. The doorposts of the holy place were square. In front of the entrance of the most holy place, there was something that looked like a wooden altar. It was 5 feet high and 4 feet wide. Its corner posts, its base, and its sides were all made of wood. The man said to me, "This is the table which stands in the presence of the Lord." There was a door at the end of the passageway to the holy place, and one also at the end of the passageway to the most holy place. They were double doors that swung open in the middle. There were palm trees and winged creatures carved on the doors of the holy place, just as there were on the walls. And there was a wooden covering over the outside of the doorway of the entrance room. At the sides of this room there were windows, and the walls were decorated with palm trees. May God bless the reading of His Word. Hey, have you checked out my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide? I promise it'll really help you enjoy reading the Bible more because you won't have to skip over those long Old Testament names anymore. Why? Well, because my book makes it really easy to say them. You'll be really surprised at how easy it can be. If you read the Bible out loud in church or in Bible studies or anywhere else, you need this book. If you want to have more fun reading the Bible, head on over to easybiblenamesguide.com and order the PDF version, which you can download right away, or order a real, hold-it-in-your-hands kind of a book. Either way, you'll be saying even the longest names with ease. easybiblenamesguide.com. Thanks. Well, today's reading was pretty long, so I'm going to be really quick with my comments today. Starting in chapter 40 and continuing to the end of the book, chapter 48, Ezekiel is given a vision of a future temple and future Jerusalem. The temple Ezekiel describes is much, much larger than the previously existing temple. At more than 12 square miles, it's larger even than the entire city of Jerusalem that had existed before the Jews were taken into captivity, which had an area of just over 6 miles. In Ezekiel's vision, the city itself is between 3 and 4,000 miles. So we know that this vision has yet to be fulfilled. And there are several things in the vision that bring up many questions. For example, animal sacrifices again take place in the temple. Why is that? The sacrifice of Jesus was the last sacrifice needed to bring forgiveness of sin. So why are sacrifices needed in this new temple? Another question is the most obvious one to me. When will the temple be built? There's two primary theories on that. One, it won't be. Ezekiel's vision was not a description of a literal temple. It was symbolic. The vision was merely another assurance from God to His people that their captivity was not permanent, and that He would again bless them and be in their midst in an even greater way than ever before. Theory number two is, because of the specific details given of the temple in Ezekiel's vision, of course it'll be built, and it will be built during the millennial kingdom, that thousand-year reign of Jesus here on planet Earth after His return. Obviously, I don't know if or when the temple will be built, but what I do know is that if God says something, it will be done. I'm not going to worry about it, and I'm certainly not going to second-guess God. What are your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.